This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, tomorrow, April 22nd, is Earth Day, and I am very thrilled that today I have on the program somebody who is so involved with Earth Day, and I am looking forward to talking to her in a little while. And she is very famous. She is so famous, as a matter of fact, that she has been, well, I just can't even begin to tell you how many people have said that she is just by herself responsible for so many wonderful things happening to protect the oceans. So I'm going to be talking to her. I have this beautiful book that she wrote. It's called Ocean, a Global Odyssey. And it's just gorgeous. Of course, it's a Nat Geo book, and her name is Sylvia Earle, and she's going to be on in a little while. So while I'm waiting for her, I just want to mention, you know, Earth Day started in 1970, and it is an important day. I want to tell everyone that for me, I have been particularly interested in the elephants of Africa. And so I've always looked forward to participating in events that celebrate and try to protect and conserve animals. That's one of the reasons that I love doing these programs with Nat Geo, because they have done over 100 years. Nat Geo has been there for the world. They have been traveling the world and helping everybody around the world to understand the importance of conservation, the importance of protecting our environment, the importance of protecting animals. And so I'm always honored when I have a book to talk about from them. And as I said, tomorrow is Earth Day, and you can look at the National Geographic website to find out things that you can do to help protect the environment. One of the things, of course, that we're talking about, and this is, you know, it is so difficult when we have so many problems in this world, but one of the things right now with the cost of everything that people are looking into is solar energy. And my cousin in California, where he, of course, prices are incredible, they've always been incredible. And he, for years, every time I talked to him, he would complain about his electric bill. So I was happy a few years ago when he went solar, and now he's actually a happy person because he doesn't have to pay the enormous electric bills that we are paying nowadays. So I have a commercial here from a sponsor. And I think that, you know, it's something that you should think about. And if you're not ready for solar panels, this company will do, well, they will do all the other things necessary in your house to get your electric bills down, whether it is ensuring that you have the windows, insulation. Anyway, I'm going to play their ad, and then I'll come back and talk about them.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Great. You know, this add is very important. I wanted to just remind you that it's not just go solar. I mean, you might want to go solar. And as I said, my cousin is very happy that he went solar. But there are so many other ways that you are just making your life difficult by not taking care of all of the problems that are in a house, the leaky windows, the bad insulation, all sorts of things. So the wonderful thing about Efficient Home Services is that they will do an audit. They'll come to your house free of charge. They'll come to your house. They'll do an audit. They'll go around and they'll tell you exactly where you're losing, the heat from your house, where you have deficiencies. And you can take them gradually. You don't have to do everything all at once. You might not want to go solar immediately, but you might want to have your windows done. You might want to have your roof fixed. You might want your all sorts of things that they do. They have a lot of services. Go to their website. It's GoEHS. Check it out. And again, one of the wonderful things about it is that they do in-house. They are in-house people, so they're not contracting out, and you have all sorts of strangers coming to your house that you don't know who they're working for or where they come from. So GoEHS is a perfect place for you to check out and see. And I know everybody is just shocked at the electric bills. And we're going to have, I fear, we had a very cold winter here, and I think we're going to have a very hot summer. So we don't win. The heating bills were enormous this year, and I think now the cooling bills will be equally enormous. And I know one thing that really saved me was getting new windows. My windows, my energy bill went in half in the summer after I got my wonderful, wonderful windows. So think about it, and also remember, hurricane season is coming up. You want to make sure that you have good windows. So call EHS and go and see them, and you will be happy about that. Because, as I said, you know, it is going to be Earth Day tomorrow, and you have to start thinking about how you can make efficiencies and in your energy bills and just in general. I also want to talk about, I'm not going to have commercials later on in the program. I'm going to have two wonderful guests, as I said. First, we're going to be talking about oceans. And then I have a really fantastic Australian, somebody from Australia. And I'm going to be talking to Aaron Blaby. Aaron Blaby has sold over 30 million books. Yes, sirree, 30 million. Woo! Think of that. And so I'm excited that he's going to be on the program. So I won't have time for commercials between them. But I will talk for a minute about my other two sponsors. I want to talk about Glenn Erickson. He is always so wonderful. He's always talking about Red Cross. And never, never has the Red Cross needed more help than they do right now. What is going on in Europe and, of course, in the Ukraine has just stretch them to the limits. So if you are thinking about ways to help with the situation, how to help, donate to the Red Cross, because they know what they're doing over there and they're helping out. And again, thank Glenn Erickson for always doing this commercial every week for them, because we need the Red Cross. And of course, as I also mentioned, hurricane season is coming up, and so I have a feeling their resources are going to be really stretched to the limit. I want to also remind you, Bill Larson is going to be here next week. And we're going to be talking about intellectual property. There's a lot of things that have been coming up lately. People have been asking how to protect their intellectual property. So I want to make sure that if you have questions, send them in to me. And I'm going to be having a new section on my webpage where I will have all the answers that he gives on the program. I will have them all up there so that you can go back and listen to them, because it is so important that you protect your intellectual property and know what you're doing. Never, ever sign a contract ever without seeing a lawyer and without talking to somebody who is a member of what they call APLA, which is the Intellectual Property Association. And Bill Larson from Larson & Larson is not only an expert in intellectual property law, but also patent law. He's my patent attorney. I have 4 patents, and he's done that for me. And then, of course, he will also do, this is something important, when you have intellectual property and you have to make arrangements, what's going to happen to it, who's going to get it when you're gone. And so, again, it's nice to have an audit, have a lawyer who does an audit of your intellectual property, knows exactly what's going to happen. So this is something that Bill Larson will do for you, too. And, of course, he will always, anytime you have a question about filing for a copyright, he will answer your questions free of charge. All you have to do is go to his website. It's Larson Patent Law, and at Larson Patent Law, he will be. You can connect to him, and he will answer your questions free of charge. So, just think about that. It's very important that you know what your rights are and what your responsibilities are when it comes to protecting your intellectual property. Now, mentioning my website, I want to again thank everyone for the comments on the new website. It's getting there. It's looking impressive. You can now go to the website and listen to the book buzzes that Bria Burton, Devon Miller, and Rita Moreau have done for Joy on Paper. These are short promos that we are doing for authors to help them promote their books, to help people remember their books. Because one of the problems with authors, you know, when they have a book, they have a pub date, and it's very exciting. You have that day that your book is released, and you're out there. And the next thing you know, the 2 weeks or 3 weeks goes by quickly, and nobody else ever follows you up. Nobody ever comes and says, you know, you want another interview. So that's why we do book buzzes here, because I want to make sure that you can have this opportunity, the authors can have this opportunity to continue to promote their books. And I want to thank all 3 of them, Bria, Devon, and Rita, for the book buzzes that they're doing. You can see them on, you can check it on your phones. It's if you go to the radio-joy on paper website and click on book buzzes, you'll see all 3 of their names, and you can listen to the book buzzes right there on your phone. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And then once you listen to the book buzz, you can decide which books you want to buy. And that's one of the exciting things about the new website. It's going to have a lot of wonderful things like that. So make it easier for you to listen on to these book buzzes online or on the phone. And now in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking again. As I said, tomorrow, April 22nd, is Earth Day. And the first Earth Day was in 1970. And it is very exciting that it's just grown so much. There are now over 1 billion people who celebrate Earth Day. And when you think about it, I mean, we are here. You know, they're talking so much about all these aliens coming to look at us, but I'm telling you, we're here, and we have to protect Earth, and I don't think any of us are going to ever get to another planet, and I don't think I would want to anyway, because Earth is so beautiful, and we have such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity here with National Geographic books. You know, Nat Geo is just the... I never get tired of telling you that if you are looking for a gift, a Nat Geo book is perfect. There's always a holiday coming up, and now we're coming up to Mother's Day and Father's Day. And this new book that I'm going to be talking to the author about is a book that's perfect for a mother or father, but particularly I'm thinking for a mother, because there's an element of girl power, woman power in this book, because the author overcame a lot of challenges to become known as, well, she's known as her deepness. And I'm so excited to talk to somebody like that who has a title. And, you know, maybe I'm going to have to bow to her when she comes online. But she's going to be on in a few minutes. And she is also, she's, you know, known as a living legend. And I'm just, I don't know, it's just, when I think of a woman who goes out there and does what she wants to do, has a passion, that makes me so excited. I love it. I love that there's this ability. Sometimes in life, you just, when you have a passion and you just go for it, you can create an amazing, amazing life for yourself. And so when I get Dr. Earle on the phone in a minute, I just want to celebrate her life as much as anything and celebrate this beautiful book. It weighs a ton. You can use this as to exercise. You can lift it up and down all day. And it's one of these wonderful books. Nat Geo, of course, does quality books, quality paper. And quality paper weighs more. It's really true, and it's beautiful to touch. So this is always exciting for me when I get a Nat Geo book. And particularly this book, there are photos in this book that are, I have spent, there's one photo. It's an absolutely beautiful photo. It's a penguins, and it's at the back of the book, and I'm spending all my time looking at it. Okay, well, I am so thrilled to welcome to Joy on Paper, Dr. Sylvia Earle. Wow, and the name of the book, and I have to lift it up, and I'm looking at it. I'm holding it to the camera. It's called Ocean, A Global Odyssey. Hello, Dr. Earle.
Hello to you. I'm so glad that you are able to lift that book. I know it's a heavyweight.
Oh, it is. It's enormous. It's fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm in not-so-sunny California enjoying the fog.
Oh, well, I live here right along the Gulf Coast of Florida. So I'm thinking about oceans and water all day long from dawn to sunset.
Well, I have footprints all along that part of the planet. I first fell in love with the ocean in New Jersey, but then continued along the Florida Gulf Coast over many years. That's where I first used scuba, and later came back with little submarines and explored in the deeper waters offshore.
Well, I love that you've been called Her Deepness. You like do you like that title?
Why not?
Well, I think it's adorable. It's one of the wonderful things about this book. I was telling my guests that, of course, they know that I love Nat Geo books, and I always recommend Nat Geo books for every holiday. And Mother's Day and Father's Day are coming up, and this is a perfect gift. But particularly for Mother's Day, because there's also this element of female power, because you had to overcome a lot to be able to become an oceanographer.
Well, think about Mother Earth, and the ocean is La Mer, after all.
Exactly. So in the beginning, but they weren't that open to you getting an expedition.
Well, a lot changed in 1970, when I, along with other women, applied to be a part of a program of living underwater. It was called the Tektite Program. The head of the program, received applications from, they didn't expect women to apply, and some of us did. And it was up to him. Shall there not be women as a part of this? There were no women astronauts at the time. That was years in the future. He kind of shrugged and said, well, half the fish are female. I guess we can put up with a few women. And they did, but they wouldn't allow the women's team. Well, they made a woman's team instead of having men and women living together. That was simply unacceptable. And later, going high in the sky, living in space, men and women spent time together, and underwater as well, but 1970 was kind of a turning point. The fact that the team of women did as well as we did, I think they say, helped pave the way for having women in space.
Well, 1970 is an important year because it was also the year of when we started Earth Day. It was the first year of Earth Day, right? April 22nd.
That view of Earth from space, first recorded in 1968, and then again as astronauts walked on the moon looking back at that, what they called the blue marble view, Earthrise, and the understanding that Earth is kind of a miracle in a universe that is really not very friendly. And the key to our existence, to the existence of life, is ocean. It's 97% of Earth's water is ocean, and it's not just water and rocks. It's filled with life that have shaped planetary chemistry, that continue to shape climate, weather. It's just a miracle that we're here at all, that we have the ocean to thank for our existence.
And that's why it's so important that we celebrate Earth Day. Really, every day is Earth Day, because we have to think about what we are doing to the oceans. And, of course, as I said, I live along the Gulf. And we see, you know, we can walk early in the morning and we see the stuff that comes up on shore. And it's very frustrating. Every year we have, you know, cleanup days along the beach, which we shouldn't have to have, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, what we're putting into the ocean, including a lot of materials that did not and could not exist when I began exploring the ocean in the 1950s. We've developed these very convenient products, but have now turned into very inconvenient realities. Fishing nets that are made of synthetic material, not the fishing nets and lines of the good old days when, first of all, you didn't want to lose a net because it took so much effort to make them, and they're made out of materials that eventually, you know, faded away, and the new ones do not. They keep on fishing and catching and killing once they have been lost or tossed into the ocean, these lightweight materials and long lines. They're very durable. Anyway, now we know. Now we know we can make a change. We have to, for our own sake, not just for life in the sea.
Exactly. Well, you know, if you ever are in Portugal and you walk along and you see still, occasionally you'll get to a village where they're still making the nets the old way. And you know that they're going to eventually, if they get in the ocean, they're going to dissolve, they're going to disappear. But these fiber optic kind of things that never go.
They don't. They'll be around for not just decades or centuries, but some of these materials are like a permanent mark. You know, the geologists are referring to the era that we are now living in geologically as the Anthropocene, marked by the synthetic chemicals about the nuclear explosions that took place in the 1950s. That, you know, it's a new era. Our impact on the planet is sufficiently strong and mostly detrimental that this is the extinctions that we are bringing about. Every geological age in the past is marked with extinctions of one sort or another, but we're the cause now, not the comet striking Earth from space, or not the volcanoes exploding on a massive scale. It's we are the the cause of our own real problems.
Well, that's why I think this is a very important book, and one that I hope that people will give as a gift to the people in their lives, especially for Mother's Day and Father's Day. Mother's Day, because it's also a book of how women have taken a lead in so much of the research. I enjoyed reading the different articles that you have in here, like the personality of fishes. People don't think about it, but I had a goldfish once named Sammy, and I always felt he had a personality compared to the other fish in the tank.
Well, they all have faces, and yes, they all do have characteristics that set them apart one from another, just the way cats and dogs and horses and people do. But most people haven't thought about the fact that fish are individuals the way all other forms of life are as well. I think one of the best things that I hope people will come away if they are able to see this book is that it's a celebration of life and of actions that we can take now. I think I remarked that the 21st century humans are the luckiest ones ever to exist. I know there's a lot of bad news, reasons for despair, but no, when you think about it, never before could we know what we now know. Imagine if we didn't know that climate was caused by the changing climate, the warming of the planet. We've had a hand in this, that we can also have a hand in reversing the trend to make Earth more favorable than it is right now. And that should make all of us stand up taller and want to do what each of us can do. Everyone has power. We just need to apply it in the direction that we'll get from decline to recovery.
Well, you've done a remarkable job with this book. It's so beautiful. All the photographs are wonderful. I love the maps at the back with all of the explanation of the oceans, the currents. I think it's so informative. Many parents are now homeschooling their children, and this book is absolutely perfect textbook to have in any school, but particularly in homeschools where you have a chance to work with your children and go through a book like this and study the different aspects of ocean life. I enjoyed also the article about ocean color from space and understanding about the changing colors of the ocean.
Well, the goal was to make information accessible, entertaining, uplifting, if you will, and with stories of people. How do we know what we know about the ocean? Not just here it is, but how do we know? It's what a kid would ask. How have we figured out the nature of the ocean and who lives there? We try to take people along, the readers of the book, on journeys, little individual profiles of explorers, and taking the various issues in indigestible bites so that you can pick up almost anywhere and read a story and feel like there might be something that you're happy to discover.
Well, it is a book that will give readers hours of wonderful enjoyment. As you said, there are different articles on different subjects, so you can just pick it up anywhere, whether you're, you have an hour or you even have just 10 minutes every once in a while during the day. You're doing other things, and then you sit down and you just go through this book. The quality of the book, of course, is Nat Geo quality, so the pages are beautiful to touch. The photography is amazing, and the stories are so fascinating, whether it's the whale's world record or reading about the turtles. And, of course, we have here every year we have the turtles coming up on the sand here, and we're trying to be careful here in our area. But all the photographs are amazing.
Well, I'm glad that you are enjoying it. I hope others will, too. I think my favorite part of the whole book is the centerfold, where you actually can get a glimpse of the spectrum of life in the sea, creatures that have no counterpart on the land. They occur only in the ocean. And only about half of the major divisions of life have made it to freshwater or terrestrial systems. Great majority of the diversity is out there in the sea. So I hope people will dive in and not only look at the book, but maybe go be motivated to dive in the ocean itself.
Well, you're right. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you've done here in putting this book together for people. I hope that people will get it and enjoy it as I have been enjoying it. And I know that it will move hearts because you write so compellingly here about the different aspects of life in the ocean. And I want people to celebrate tomorrow, Earth Day. And this is a great book to get, great for as a gift. And I think you are just so amazing. And you're an inspiration in and of yourself because what you've done, what you've accomplished. And I know that it's just, it's wonderful that you're called the first hero of the planet, which is pretty exciting.
Well, whatever it is that I've done, I say, if I can do it, you can do it. Get out there. Go embrace the world. This is a moment in time that has never been more exciting because of what we know. We've opened doors in the past that really can make our future so much better. And that's, I think, the goal. Every generation wants the next one to be better. And we can do this. We just have to hurry.
Well, Dr. Sylvia Earle, the name of the book is Ocean, A Global Odyssey. It is a beautiful book. And Dr. Earle, you are an inspiration for everyone, but particularly, I think, for women to understand that you can do anything you want if you get out there and do it. And it's just been an honor to have you on Joy on Paper today. And I want to tell everyone they should go to, of course, the book is available online, but also go to Nat Geo website. It's a beautiful website.
Thank you. Thanks for having me as part of the action.
Oh, it's been a joy to talk to you. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Oh, this book. I love this book. Ever since I got it, I've had it right there next to my reading chair. And I spend so much time looking at it, and it's wonderful, particularly what I do in, I'm up early in the mornings, and after I'm ready for my, somewhere around 7 o'clock, I'm ready for my third cup of coffee. I've been opening this book and looking at it and just amazed by the photography, the details, the superb colors. You go through this book, and the ocean is so colorful, the fish and the sea urchins, it doesn't matter, the plankton. And that's beautiful. It's amazing. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book to get as a gift for Mother's Day and Father's Day because it will give hours of joy. And I will tell you one thing. People treasure books from Nat Geo, and they will love anybody you give this book to. Will love it, and it's a perfect book, as I said, for homeschoolers. Because as a homeschool mom, I was always looking for resources. And I'll tell you something. I have a resource right now. You know, writers are always asking me how to become a better writer. I always give them the same response, paint a picture. So I am thrilled to welcome to Joy on Paper a real word artist who has sold over 30 million books, one 32-page book after another. Hi, Aaron Blaby, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm really well.
Well, speak Aussie to me. Oh, it's so nice. I you are so funny. Well, okie dokie, I am ready. I'm ready for you. I was so happy when I got your book, and I saw that you used two of my favorites. This is funny. Two of the things that I use when I only really tweet to my, message back and forth to my son, and the two phrases I use are okie dokie and boo-hoo, and both of those phrases are in this fantastic. I don't know how to describe this book.
We've got to keep them alive. We've got to keep those phrases alive. It's important, I think.
Aren't they wonderful? And they are in The Bad Guys, which is a hilarious book.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. I love making them.
Oh, well, you are a word artist, and that is so important. People always really, everyone's always saying, "Well, how can I be a better writer? How can I?" I said, "Paint a picture for me. If I can see it in my head, then I know you've done your job." And you do that. It's just like, well, it's poetry. Your poetry on paper.
Oh, thank you. What a lovely thing to say. It's something that I have spent my, especially this series, The Bad Guys, I've spent my whole life looking for this. There was a hole, a creative hole, that I could never quite fill. From the time I was very young, I remember being 6 years old and going to see The Empire Strikes Back, the Star Wars movie. And I, even at that age, there was something I couldn't quite grab onto. I came out, I drew pictures of it, and I tried to recapture that feeling somehow, and I could never quite do it. And obviously the answer was to invent my own universe, but I was many, many, many years away from having the wherewithal to do that. But when I did find my way to create a world, which was The Bad Guys, it changed everything. I get up in the morning and I get to go into my studio and create an entire universe and live inside it while I do it. And that's just the best job in the world, really. You know, it's beautiful. And I've been thinking lately that when I was a kid, if I could see where I've ended up, what I'm doing now, like me at 12 years old, for instance, if my 12-year-old me saw what I'm doing, they'd be a pretty happy kid, I think. And that's pretty wonderful.
It is. I don't suppose at that age you imagine that you would be selling 30 million books, 32 pages at a time.
I know. It's pretty crazy. Those numbers are freaky. I was at the premiere the other night for The Bad Guys in L.A., and one of the team from Scholastic turned to me and said The Bad Guys books alone have just passed 20 million copies. So it's above 30 now. It's ridiculous. Because my first 8 books came out and none of them sold more than 5,000 copies, and I couldn't make a living from it. I had 2 little kids, and so many times was on the verge of having to just kind of let it go and give up. I went and did other jobs. I worked in advertising. I taught for a while, and something in me just couldn't let it go. I hadn't found my voice yet. I hadn't found The Bad Guys. I hadn't found my other successful series like Pick the Park or Thelma the Unicorn. They hadn't come out of the universe for me yet, but I couldn't let it go. It was sort of beyond my control in a funny way. As much as it would have made my life easier to do it, I just couldn't. And I'm really glad that I did, because when it turned in such a preposterously big way that there's no way to prepare for that.
Big is an understatement. I love it in so many ways. I love the rap sheets. that gets me. I've read the book over and over, and I get always to this. I come back to the rap sheets. I love the rap sheets. It's so clever, and I don't know if you're prepared to read a rap sheet, but I love the one about Mr. Wolf. Why don't you explain? I don't know if you can read the rap sheet or if you just want to tell us about Mr. Wolf.
I don't have the rap sheet on me, but he effectively is all the shady activities that wolves have done in children's books over the centuries, but put in the form of a NYPD blue kind of rap sheet. And there's a real fun that I get to experience while I'm making The Bad Guys each day, where I get to take stuff that I love from movies and I mean, I'm a movie obsessive, and this has given me a vehicle to take and take iconography from things that children have no business seeing, like scary movies or Tarantino movies or whatever, but I pick images from those and I find a way to hotwire it for kids. And when I was a kid, and I know my kids are like this, when I was a kid, I would see stuff and I go, I want to see that. And my parents would say, no, you're too young. That's too scary. That's too rude. That's too whatever. And I remember that feeling of wanting to get your hands on that. And I thought to myself, well, what if you could take those things and do it in a way that isn't inappropriate, but if you create something that kids, when they get it in their hands, they go, I can't believe I got my hands on this. you know, and that has been so much fun to do. It's like that's such a joy to be able to live in that space. And not many people work there. I've been finding more and more with the bad guys that it exists in its own sort of space out there, and that feels pretty special too.
Well, you know, I love graphic books. I love one of the things I was reading The Bad Guys, I was thinking about one of my favorite places in the world is Asterix Park in just outside of Paris, because I loved, you know, Asterix all the time. And so it's so much fun now to get your books. They're so smart, so clever, and really, isn't it beautiful how you can do so much with so few words?
Oh, and so few pictures as well. I saw a book about Charles Schulz recently, the Peanuts, and I've forgotten the title, but it was something about, you know, saying the most with the least amount of things in the frame or something. And that's what I try to do, is what is the most economical way to tell the story, and whether it be comedically or dramatically, what is the simplest and most direct way I can make kids respond, whether it's a laugh or engagement in a longer story arc? And that, I don't know, there's something about that minimalist approach that really appeals to me. And it's also helpful because as an artist, I'm very limited as a drawer. So the books actually visually have become more ambitious in the last couple of years. And I constantly feel like I'm right at the limit of any talent that I have each day, and I'm often terrified when I'm doing it. But I guess they do say that if you're not nervous about what you're doing, you're probably not doing anything particularly interesting. So I'm hoping that applies to this case.
Well, let's explain to my listeners that the bad guys are let's say animals of a certain nature who are not considered that friendly. And so the wonderful thing, as I said, I love these rap sheets that you've done for each of them. And just to give my audience a flavor of it, I'm going to read the rap sheet for Mr. Wolf. Okay. This is his criminal activity. Blowing down houses. Impersonating sheep. Breaking into the house of old women. Impersonating old women. Attempting to eat old women. Attempting to eat relatives of old women. Theft of nightgowns and slippers. Well, that's a heck of a rap sheet.
They were really good fun to do. I've actually just been, someone's just handed me a copy of the book so I can look at them too. It's been a while since I've read the first one. Yeah, look, there's so much fun to be had by taking characters that they're archetypes. You know, we know from the time we're very, very young, and that's why I wanted to do this too. I'm Australian, obviously, and I live in a country full of terrifying animals. We have sharks, spiders, and snakes. So it's taking that and just having some fun with it, basically, and then putting it through the filter of all the movies and story archetypes that I've loved in my life. And we all love a villain too.
Exactly.
And we all love a redemption story. So a redemption story about villains trying to get their act together is pretty cool.
Well, now that you have the book with you, can you read the rap sheet for Mr. Snake? Because I think that's a great one, and I'd love to hear it in Aussie.
Okay, you got it. All right, so Mr. Snake, alias the chicken swallower, his criminal activity, he broke into Mr. Ho's pet store. He ate all the mice at Mr. Ho's pet store. He ate all the canaries at Mr. Ho's pet store. He ate all the guinea pigs at Mr. Ho's pet store. He tried to eat Mr. Ho at Mr. Ho's pet store. He tried to eat the doctor that tried to save Mr. Ho. He tried to eat the policeman who tried to save the doctor that tried to save Mr. Ho. He ate the police dog who tried to save the policeman who tried to save the doctor who tried to save Mr. Ho. He's very dangerous. Do not approach.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I love hearing it in Aussie because I owned a company I lived in England for many years, and I owned a company and I had a lot of employees, and I only employed Australian girls just so I could hear Aussie all day. And I didn't have any problem with them. Now, I was American, and I had to have work permit, and that was so hard to get. But I owned the company, so I was able to get a work permit. But and I found the British girls were, I'm not going to say lazy, but let me just say, put it this way. The Australian girls knew how to put in a good day's work.
I see. Well, that's very good to hear.
And they, I could listen to them all day long. I can listen to an Aussie voice all day long. I just love it.
Oh, thank you. What a lovely compliment.
Yeah, it's just pleasant. It's just pleasant. Are you going to say g'day to me? Please say it.
Sure. G'day.
G'day. Well, you are just having so much fun with this, your career is amazing. You are amazing. I love, as I said, I love the way that you use words. And just, I think it is just so wonderful when you can make people laugh and when you can bring, you know, these books, any adult will read these books and enjoy them as much as any kid.
Oh, thank you. I love what I do, and it's really nice to hear that you know when people are enjoying them and the kids are connecting to them. And now with the movie, you know, it's going to, you know, blow up into something potentially a lot bigger even, which is a thought that, you know, gives me pause. It's crazy. I'm in the middle of a hurricane at the moment. So thank you for, you know, being encouraging. It's lovely.
Well, of course, I'm sure that we're going to see you in, you know, the theme park, and you're going to have all sorts of things. It's just really exciting that something like this can happen. But it's happened to just the right person, because I think you have this charm and this joy that really shines through your books, all of your books.
Well, thank you so much.
And I just want to tell people that these are, you know, the summer's coming up, and I'm going to be promoting books, really a lot of reading for kids. And these books, all of your books, are, again, this, what I love is teaching children how it's so simple. You can do, you can start writing. You don't need anything. You don't need a computer. You don't need, you can just... a piece of paper, and I have a feeling that you started off easily with a piece of paper, right?
I started off with a piece of toilet paper. That's how humble the beginnings were for me. I had the idea for my very first book when I was staying at a friend's house, and in the middle of the night, I had the idea that I wanted, and I had no paper to write it down on. I didn't want to wake everybody up, so I went to the bathroom, got a long, long piece of toilet paper, and wrote my first book, which I have in a frame on my wall at home. So, no, you're quite right. You don't need anything fancy. You just need yourself and something to say.
And right from the heart, write what you want to tell people. Yeah. And that's the key to it, because I get these writers who will say, oh, well, you know, I when I get a Mac computer, then I can sit down and start writing. And I say, no. Or kids think nowadays that they need all of these complicated programs, and then they can create. But the fact is, it's right there at your fingertips, a pencil and a piece of paper, toilet paper, you know, a napkin in a restaurant. You can do it. You just have to let yourself feel that joy that I'm talking about, that joy on paper.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, when you do that, when you make that your life, you're never bored, because if you're stuck in a queue, you're waiting for a plane at an airport, something, whatever, any moment where I just scribble notes. I just think about things and let my imagination sort of tumble out, and I live in there now. So there's not a single moment in the day that can't be filled with something kind of amazing, you know. And that's quite a wonderful thing to be able to access.
And the material is all around you. You just have to look around, open your eyes, look at the beauty, look at the silliness, look around.
That's right.
And of course, now you can just look at the numbers, you know. I don't know if they have on your website, they have a counter, you know, every time a book is sold. You should do that, you know, boom, 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 boom. People, wouldn't that look nice?
I like the sound of that very much.
I think they should do that. You know, they always have those counters for national debt. which are annoying. But in this case, it would be fun to watch your counter going do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Because you deserve it. You deserve it. Of all the writers I've talked to lately, I think of all, because I'm smiling. And, you know, after this pandemic, I went through crazy, crazy books where I didn't smile sometimes for days because of the terrible books I was, not terrible writing, just they were, didn't give me any of this joy that I feel with your books.
Oh, thank you. I think, and I totally understand what you're saying. It is, it's just nice to, and look, this is, because I do what I do, and because I find I have to manipulate my life in many ways to stay in a reasonably good mood. You know, I'm sometimes often terribly uninformed about what's happening in the world because sometimes things can get just too dark and too blue. And for me to consistently do what I'm doing, I need to, you know, try to make kids laugh. And I have to be somewhat protective of that so that I can be feel light enough to do it. So, I'm glad you appreciate it and enjoying them. That's really cool.
Well, I do, and I think that all we have to do is say, bad guys, good deeds, read them all. And you're going to be all over the place. Tell people your website.
It's just my name. It's aaronblaby.com. Blaby, which rhymes with baby.
Oh, that's sweet. Yes, because I'm sure, did they call you Blabby when you...
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so I've actually, there's on the website, I have a big thing that says it rhymes with baby. Yes.
That's nice.
Just to clarify.
Well, that's great. Well, Aaron Blaby, I think you are terrific. You've given me a lot of laughs, and I don't feel bad about saying okie dokie. And boo-hoo, you know. So it's just every word in your book are precious. And you have done a wonderful, wonderful thing of just, I think one thing that will come out of this, of people reading your books, and that I know it's wonderful to have it in cartoons and to see it, you know, on the screen. But seeing the words on paper, and your illustrations are actually perfect. They are just great. And Mr. Shark, I love Mr. Shark. I love Mr. Shark. They're all great. So hola, and I want to say that hola to Mr. Piranha and Mr. Shark, and you're just amazing too.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely talking to you.
Okay, bye bye now. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Wow, what a guy. What a guy. This is so fun. Actually, I think most adults need to read these books. They're really good. And if you are a writer, you should read these books because you'll learn how, in 32 pages, he doesn't use a lot of words, but he tells a story and he paints a picture. Everybody, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room because he's going to salute me. And I have to say something nice because I like to get saluted. I should have been a general. Okay, bye-bye, everybody. See you on Thursday.